I think she wouldn't have known about half the things I did.
Ah.
And I've kept it that way, although I've written it down in a book, and she tells me she's read it. I know the bookmark was stuck in the same place in the book for quite a while where it deals with my dad leaving, but apparently she has read it now.
But she hasn't commented.
She hasn't commented, no.
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 And what was busking like? You travelled fairly extensively, didn't you?
Well, I have to say that the whole road and music dream were wrapped up as one, and that the guitar gave me the gave me the artistic sort of impetus, and the road presented you know, the never-ending dream. As a matter of fact, I still feel largely that way, even though it's you know, the road goes on forever.
Mm.
They were coupled together somehow, and then because I could play a little bit and I was hungry, there was some sort of, I don't know, they harmonized together, and I played on the street, and I traveled through Europe playing the guitar in street corners, and sometimes with a pal, sometimes on my own, and it was a wonderful adventure, and I learned a lot. I confirmed a lot of doubts and suspicions that I had anyway, and I felt that I was earning my dues. I was learning my trade. I mean, I don't play the way that I played on the street anymore, because, you know, I play fingerstyle and you wouldn't be able to hear that, but I learned a lot. I traveled a lot. I was lonely a lot. I had to think a lot, and I've actually just written a song about it, actually, because I felt it sort of coming round a full circle. I still got a lot to do, but I've actually identified that mixture of mystery and mystique and the spirituality of what was going on, along with the music and the journey. So
interesting. And who knows whether you'd ever have written The Streets of London without experiencing surviving in a grotty room in Paris and freezing to death in the winter there.
I think that's probably true as well. I think that observing people like in France, a lot of the old guys sleep over the hot air gratings from the metro because it's a little bit of warmth, but they still take their boots off, or they did in those days, and put them under their heads because somebody's likely to come along and steal their boots. I mean, it's that tough, and Paris is cold in the winter. It really is cold, and yeah, it comes home to you what it must be like to have no shelter at all.
So what was the big break, Ralph?
Well, the big confusion was the song. The big break, I don't know. I've just been lucky enough to, right from the very earliest attempts at playing guitar, I've been able to communicate with the ideas. And although I would like to have aspired to a higher art, and I was going to be Bob Dylan, actually, but he did it first. So, I mean, I think sometimes I would have loved that influence. And now when I look back, I think, no, that's a very lonely row to hoe. And who would I be looking towards? Who would I be looking at? And who would I be listening to and pondering his particular journey? So my break has just been that through the guitar and through the songs that I've written, I've managed to
getting recording deals like the Transatlantic deal.
They're a two-edged sword, you know, to be honest with you. People say to me, young writers come up, young players say, how do we get a recording? I say, I don't know. Why do you want one? What do you want one for? It used to be awarded as a kind of measure of somebody. What it actually means is that somebody thinks they can make money out of you. That's what it actually means. And
doesn't it mean a lot more people hear your music?
It can do, but I'm not aware of anyone playing mine.
No, but listen, you know, you can go into a shop and buy a Ralph McTell CD old-fashioned record, and if you hadn't got a recording deal, I wouldn't be able to do that, would I?
Well, that's true, too, but you see, about 80% of the people that I know that work on the acoustic scene make their own records, and you can record at home if you want to hear how you sound.
It's all going that way, of course, isn't it? Yes,
it is, really, and, you know,
democratisation, you might call it.
It is, really, and downloading music off the internet and so on. I really don't know what to say. I just say music is the thing that drives me, and occasionally, you know, we get a bunch of songs, we put them down and people can take them home, but I think still they prefer to come and see the shows live. But it does give you a chance to let the perhaps slightly more complex songs soak in a little bit more if you get them on record. But I'd be very dubious about accepting a recording deal these days. Really what you want is the guarantee that you're going to get heard, not that you're going to build up a huge debt of studio time and so on.
Tricky
old decision to make.
Billy Connolly, we know, rates you. He's described you as a national treasure. Not bad for a a Scot saying that to an Englishman, I have to say. And, of course, we've heard some of your music via him on the telly just recently, haven't we?
Well, yes. Billy and I were on the same label, and I'm sure he would have felt exactly the same as me when, you know, to be awarded the chance to make a record, although he was a serious musician in that, and he still is, actually. He's a very, very fine musician, and especially on the banjo, and he has a deep affection for early American music and English and Scots traditional music as well. So we were bonded right from the start, and of course his humour took over, and we all know what happened to Billy. Became a huge star, but we were on the same label together in those early days at Transatlantic, and we've remained friends ever since. And he does seem to be a little at ease with me when we're in the studio together. We have fun playing. He's kind of a nervous performer, so
that's interesting to hear, I must say. You tend to think he might be all bravado, you know, and gagging around and so forth.
Well, I think he could do that. It's when he's put under the microscope, and you actually only end up performing to the studio engineer and your producer, and you can only do it a couple of times, and it goes off. So with Billy and I, we try and know what we're going to do a little bit before we go in, and if we don't get it down in two takes, it ain't going to happen, and that's it. So Bill's come to me a couple of times and said, let's do some stuff, or can you help me out with this, and it's been an absolute privilege and an honour, and I love doing it.
We'll hear the music in question in just a moment and give details of the CD from which it comes. First of all, though, we must mention that you'll be at the Martlets Hall in Burgess Hill tomorrow night, 8 o'clock start. Tickets are a trifling £15 on 01444 242 treble 8. 01444 242 treble 8. It's been an absolute pleasure, Ralph. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Bill.
We must do part two of the story in the day. The other day, really. We only got to the early '70s, didn't we?
Yeah, that's right.
We shall reconvene another time. Thank you for being at here at three.
A pleasure.
Sand to smoke on desert wind beneath the Southern Cross, far beyond where time begins, generations lost. I could not be further from you now, with both feet on the ground, but in the dream time souls take flight, and I am closer to you now. If I should lay me down to sleep by forest green or shining lake, I could arise to find it gone, to take for granted my mistake. Yet I could not be further from you now, with both feet on the ground, but in the dreamtime souls take flight, and I am closer to you now. Mountains crumble, forests vanish, seeds awakened by the fire. Water, air, and earth have borne them, and I can feel my own ones near. Yet I could not be further from you now, with both feet on the ground, but in the dreamtime souls take flight, and I am closer to you now. Flames are dancing in the fire, timeless songs are on the air. In the wilderness they're crying, but there is laughter everywhere. And I could not be further from you now, with both feet on the ground, but in the dreams souls take flight, I am closer to you now.
was nice, wasn't it?
Very nice.
That was nice.
And what a lovely man as well. Yeah. He really is. God bless him. Ralph McTell. Red Sky, the name of the CD from which that track came, which was called In the Dreamtime.